Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you here today as we gather for worship. It's the first Sunday of the month. We'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper together at the end of the service, but it's good to have you here today. If you're visiting with us, we extend a special welcome to you and extra special welcome if it's your first time here. We want to invite everyone to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen, which is right beside the parlor. You'll note on the inside back cover of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to read it to you, just call your attention to it. I do want to point out that daylight saving time begins next weekend, so you do want to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. You don't want to be late for church. Set it back an hour, you'll be 2 hours early, but you don't want that either. But so that is next weekend. Also, there's a save the date. We are going to be having a work day here on the 19th of March, and that's basically the day before we move back into the sanctuary for worship, and it's just to get basically this floor of the building spruced up a little and cleaned up. So I'm hoping a lot of people come out, a lot of areas that need just some little tender loving care and a little attention. So we're going to be doing that on the 19th. Also, during March, we are receiving the America for Christ offering, and there is an insert in your bulletin today that talks about that. Marilyn's going to have a few words in a little while about that as well. We watched a video last week, and we'll watch another video next week for the America for Christ offering. You'll also note on the back page of the bulletin is an order form for Easter flowers. If you would like to order a plant to be in the sanctuary for Easter, and the deadline is March 20th, which is 2 weeks from today, Palm Sunday. Also, I've mentioned if you're using a large print bulletin, I want to apologize to you that part of the middle hymn is missing, so do apologize for that. Hopefully you may know that chorus and it won't affect you too much. Also, we received a note from Habitat for Humanity on the North Shore, addressed to the First Baptist and Global Ark Baptist. Thank you for participating in this year's Habitat for Humanity Food Fair. Through the sale of drinks and food, as well as the silent auction, the fair raised $7,000 to support the local affiliate and work done internationally. We hope to see you back for our 33rd annual International Food Fair to support Habitat for Humanity. My best, Sharon Thomas. So that is a thank you to us and Global Ark. I'll be sharing this with Global Ark after the service as well, but it was a month ago yesterday, I think, that it was the first Saturday in February that the food fair took place. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 254 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading words of the Apostle Paul as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, and let us read responsively from God's holy word. The Apostle Paul reminds us, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus.
Who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped,
but made himself nothing,
taking the very nature of a servant,
being made in human likeness,
and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself,
and became obedient to death,
even death on the cross.
Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name,
that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow,
in heaven and on earth and under the earth,
and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father.
We have gathered to worship Christ this morning. Our opening hymn is I Cannot Tell, which is printed on the insert. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 only. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Rejoicing to the Father.
Let us pray together. O God, whose tender mercy is always giving and forgiving, loving and yearning to be loved, remind us again that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That means each one of us. Help us to focus our faith on Jesus and to teach us anew that as he bore his cross for all people, so he invites us to take up our crosses and follow him. We ask this in his name, and now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated. And I'm going to call on Marilyn Glover now, recently re-elected chair of the mission board, to come and share a mission moment.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Speaking about the America for Christ offering, which we'll be taking up this month, I just wanted to mention that something that maybe not everybody is aware of, the people on the mission board and the women, perhaps, that the American Baptist Home Mission Societies distribute to each of the regions, and Massachusetts is a region, names of our missionaries, both international and national, that we should pray for, send cards to, and sometimes you have filled out cards Christmas time or Easter for some of our missionaries. I want to highlight one of them, a recipient of our America for Christ offering. It happens to be in Ohio, Mr. Mark Samuel, and it's the Neighborhood Ministries. Their mission is sharing Christ's love, partner with others to build relationships that create safe, supportive, and empowered communities, one person at a time. Even though it's in Ohio, there are other things regionally that are supported by this America for Christ offering. They have training, leadership training for youth at Franklin College in Indiana, and they also send some children to camp, a Koinonia Camp and Conference Center in Geneva, Ohio. And it's a week-long camping experience, similar to the Groton-Wood and Ocean-Wood that we do here in our region. But I thought you might be interested to see how some of these children have commented after their stay, and some of you who have been to camp might identify with this as well. So I have some quotes here. The last time I went to camp, I learned how to be a better person and to be a leader and child of God. Another one said, camp means a place that I feel like I have another family beside my own. I learned that to turn a cucumber into a pickle, you have to add ingredients and be patient. And we're like the cucumber. My favorite experience at camp was when I got baptized. Camping brings love, joy, and faith. It also means helping people. It means a lot of things to me. And finally, camp means bringing people together and creating a family to learn about God and his glory and showing me that there are people who care. So again, think of that, those experiences that we aren't helping to enhance, even in Ohio. Erica for Christ, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Koinonia Camp I'm familiar with. While I served a church in Pittsburgh, we would take an annual youth mission trip in two different years. I took the group to that camp, and we did some work there, so I am familiar with that camp. Also, those of you who remember Seafarer's Friend And Reverend Lauren Carpenter was the director of the camp at that time. So there are some connections there. But, you know, talking about, we have a local camp as well, Grottenwood, and we have Oceanwood in Maine. And they also receive, you know, benefits from the America for Christ offering. So it's not just, you know, the camp in Ohio, but it's American Baptist Ministries work in the United States and Puerto Rico that we are supporting through the America for Christ offering. And, you know, especially, you know, thinking about going to camp, and while, you know, we're being promised warmer temperatures this week in anticipation, you know, summer's coming, and, you know, with the two American Baptist camps that we support through our American Baptist Churches of Massachusetts, I want to remind folks that, you know, we do have a camping program, and our church's policy is that anyone who wants to go to camp should not be stopped from doing that because of money. It's not cheap to go to camp. It's not inexpensive. But that's always been our policy at the church, that we will find the money to support anyone who would like to go to camp. And that usually we think of children and youth, but there are also some adult programs, as well as other, a family camp as well. So we're going to be talking about this probably coming up in April, May. We'll be promoting the camp more. But want you to be thinking about that. But as you're doing that, also think about the America for Christ offering, that we're supporting those who are going to camps this summer. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for those who have heard your call and invitation to serve you here in the United States and in neighborhood ministries. We're especially thinking this morning, Lord, of camping programs. And many of us attended camp as a child or as a teen. And we thank you for those experiences. And we thank you for the counselors who were there and the leaders that brought us closer to Jesus. Lord, we pray for those that will be attending camp this summer, that they too may have a spiritual experience and may come to know Christ better. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If there are students here who would like to leave for the classes.
Sunday school teacher left, sir.
Okay. All right, so I guess students are staying in class in worship today. Okay. So we move on now to our moments of prayer. We have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns. I spoke with Delphine Haldane yesterday, and she is at home at the Davenport and doing okay. She is recovering, you know, she's recuperating, but we want to keep her in prayer. We want to keep Claire Stevens in prayer. I talked to Claire yesterday, and Claire's going to be having some surgery probably in the next few weeks, so we want to keep Claire in prayer as well. Barbara's here today. We want to continue to keep your family in prayer.
Thank you.
Your son David passed away, and funeral service was held last week, but it's a grieving process. We want to keep you and your husband David especially in prayer during this difficult time. We also want to remember David S. McCurry, Joe McCurry's brother. Joe's asked for prayers. Joe mentioned last week that David had a biopsy, and the biopsy came back that he has been diagnosed with lung cancer. And so he is seeing an oncologist, I believe, tomorrow, and to sort of map out what the plan is for treatment. But, you know, we want to keep David McCurry in prayer today. Do you have any celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family? Peggy?
Prayers from Emily Sandberg.
Okay.
And Phyllis Knight.
Okay. Two of our folks that aren't able to get out as much, so we want to keep Phyllis and Beverly in prayer. Honor?
My co-worker, her son, had overdosed on heroin, and he's home now, but I don't think he's going to get treatment.
Okay. One of Eleanor's co-workers, her son, overdosed on heroin and is at home now, but isn't quite doing real well, so we want to keep that family in prayer.
We're asking for prayers for our brother Keith in New York. He's not doing too good.
Okay. So Keith Berry in New York, who's hospitalized or a nursing home, has been for quite
he's
a while.
He's in the emergency.
He's in the emergency room, okay.
I got words last night from my sister.
Okay. So we want to keep Keith in prayer.
He was not breathing well yesterday.
He wasn't breathing well yesterday. So we want to keep Keith and the entire Berry family. It's difficult, especially when you're geographically separated, that you can't be there physically. So I want to keep the Berry family in prayer today. Any other requests for prayer? All right. I want to keep Jackie May in prayer. Jackie's not doing well at all. Just to
sisters are holding on there. But we want to keep Jackie and Alan in prayer, her husband Alan, to it. And also for the caregivers. Alan's sister Linda has been very faithful, and others that are in helping to care for Jackie.
And May.
May's not here today. Don't want to keep May in prayer as well. Any other requests? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Merciful God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to not only come here to worship together, but to spend these moments in conversation with you. While we may not be spending an hour in prayer, these minutes that we spend together, we thank you. Lord, we don't understand how you can receive all of these prayers at the same time. It's beyond our human capabilities. But we thank you that our faith tells us that you are there, receiving our prayers, responding to us. Lord, we pray for patience when we make requests. We pray that we may have the faith to accept your answers to our prayers, even though sometimes we don't agree with them. It's not what we want out of life. Lord, we just pray that when our faith is challenged, that we may once again turn to you in prayer for the strength to move on. Lord, we pray for those who are ill today. Pray for those who are injured, both in body, in mind, or in spirit. Just pray for healing in their lives according to your will. Lord, we pray for those who are providing care for those folks as well. Lord, we just pray that they may have the stamina and the wherewithal to continue offering their tender, loving care, to have clear minds when decisions have to be made. Lord, we pray for those who are not able to get outside as often as they wish they could. Just as the weather gets better, that, you know, we just pray that, you know, they may find opportunities of being content at home. Lord, we pray that we may reach out to those whom we know are housebound, that, you know, we may let them know that they're not forgotten. They are loved and remembered. For this day, we continue to pray for our nation and decisions that are being made about future leadership. Lord, we just pray that wise decisions may be made, that the best leader may be selected, that our nation may move on and flourish. Lord, we also pray for our world. And Lord, we know it's a dangerous place to live in many places. And Lord, we just lift up those areas where there is violence. And we don't have to go very far. In our own neighborhoods, in our communities, in our nation and around the world, we continually hear of violence. And Lord, we just pray that the Prince of Peace may come. We may have peace in our lands, that we may learn how to get along with each other even when we don't agree with each other. We may settle our differences in peaceful ways. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who came to walk among us and ultimately died for us. It's in his name that we offer all of these prayers. Amen.
Amen.
As I mentioned earlier, this is Communion Sunday, and we will be receiving two offerings on Communion Sundays. This first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering. It goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and gifts. Wise stewards, that we may go out and share the good news of your love for others. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may turn and greet those who are standing near you this morning.
Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of
seated. I think that hymn was familiar to most folks. It's you were in good voice. This morning's scripture lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word. Let's pray together. Or as we have read and heard from Paul's letter, that Christ came for us, each one of us, who strive to be as good as we can be, yet know that we fall short of the mark, that we go against God's plans. Lord, we pray this morning that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you. It will help us in our daily living as we strive to be faithful disciples of Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Does everyone always understand what you mean when you speak? Do I pronounce words a little differently than a native of New England? Although I think I picked up some along the way. What happens when you try to communicate with someone who does not understand English very well? Does the message sometimes get lost in the process of trying to be understood? Communication is hardly an exact science. A journalist tells the story of a friend who was visiting Japan many years ago. Reminded that taxi drivers often did not speak English, and that it was therefore a good idea to carry with him something bearing the imprint of his hotel in Japanese, the friend picked up a small box of matches as he left the hotel. Later, he climbed into a taxi and produced the box for the driver, animatedly pointing to the address printed on it. The driver's face lit up as if he had just got the point, and he quickly dashed away. Half an hour later, he brought the car to a screeching stop, turned and beamed to his passenger, and pointed out the window to a match factory. A matter of faulty communication. The intended message was not received. Sometimes, even in our own language, we are less than perfect communicators. The Apostle Paul says that God has tried to communicate with us. God has told us he loves us. And he has done it in the most straightforward manner possible. God has shown us his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not mere words, not a matchbox, not a message that could be misinterpreted. God has shown us how much he loves us in the death of his Son. First, God sent his Son, as Paul says in the letter to the Philippians, in the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. He became as we are, said one of the great early church leaders, in order that we might become as he is. That's the first rule of real communication. Become as a native. Speak the native language fluently so that your message will be understood. We have heard accounts of people, children, teens, and adults, whose hair has fallen out due to chemotherapy treatments that they underwent for cancer. Concerned about their emotional well-being, friends often shave their heads to show support. this act has an uplifting effect for the person undergoing treatment. The friends are communicating their love for the patient in a form that he or she can understand. Christ became like one of us, born of a woman, subject to childhood diseases, coping with the pressures and the prejudices of his time, experiencing the loss of loved ones, dealing with rejections and misunderstandings, going through pain and death. And Paul writes, and being in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the second message from God. First, God sent his Son as one of us, and then God showed us his love by letting his Son die on the cross for us. Nothing could be more God-like. Envision the image of the rejected Son of God dying for the very persons who rejected him. Most of us are not like that, are we? We believe in, or at least practice to some extent, the philosophy of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We despise the people who despise us and turn on those who have misused us in any way. But not God. God is the all-wise parent, has overlooked our selfishness, our tantrums, our sinfulness, and has shown us his love through Christ's death on the cross. Grown men and women have been changed by hearing of this love. An Italian artist named Franchetti is said never to have completed a painting of Christ on the cross because every time he tried to paint it, he wept so hard that he could not put his brush to canvas. On March 15, 1985, Mr. Wayne Alderson, a successful labor negotiator from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, appeared on the Today Show. The significance of the date was that it was the 40th anniversary of Mr. Alderson being wounded as the first American soldier to cross the Ziegfeld Line into Germany during World War II. He had a permanent crease in his head from the wound. Asked for his most important memory of the occasion, Mr. Alderson replied that it was of the redhead friend who saved his life that day. Alderson had come face to face with a German soldier, and the Germans threw a grenade at his feet, and Alderson shot the German. The grenade exploded almost instantly, sending Alderson to the ground, face down in the mud. A nearby German pillbox opened fire in his direction, and he knew that if the grenade had not killed him, the machine gun fire would. But his friend turned him over in the mud so that he could breathe and threw himself across Alderson's body, shielding him from the deadly fire. I can never forget the person who sacrificed his life to save me, said Mr. Alderson with tears in his eyes. I owe everything to him. I can never forget. I owe everything to him. This is precisely what the Apostle Paul was saying. God has shown us his love by Christ's death on the cross. There is no mistaking the message. We can never forget what he has done. We owe everything to him. Now the question is, what are we going to do about it? Will we go on living casually, selfishly, as if God had not given us a message at all, or as if we had not heard the message at all? I'm afraid that some of us will. We'll do our regular activities, and life will go on as usual, without much thought about God or God's message. Even if our conscience is bothered a little bit now, we'll manage to soothe it later, and by tomorrow it will be as if we had never heard a thing. Our lives still go on in the usual manner. What we hear and profess on Sundays is often not translated into our daily living on Mondays. Two friends were talking. One said to the other, Anne, if you don't change directions, you're going to end up where you're going. Think about it. It's true for you and me as well. If we don't change directions, we're going to end up where we're going. And is that where we want to go? Is it what we want our lives to be? Or does God have something better for us? One thing is clear. God loves us. That's what the cross was all about. That's the message God has been sending through the centuries. We can't miss that, yet the question is, what are we going to do about it? What difference does it make in our lives? I want to share a story with you that was originally told by a priest in a church in Paris about three young students who were walking along a country road in France. The students considered themselves to be intellectuals and philosophers, and they were discussing the power of human thought. One of the subjects they deplored as they spoke was religion. They thought that religion forces people into acceptance, compliance with a world order that's inferior. As they walked and talked, they passed a little church. One of the boys dared another to go into the church and to tell the priest what they had been talking about, to tell him that religion was really passé, had no place in the modern world. Unable to refuse a dare, the young man went in. He found the priest and expressed his thoughts. As he turned to leave, the priest said, "My son, why have you told me this?" And the boy admitted that he had been dared to do it. "Ah," said the priest, "then you would accept a dare from me as well?" And the priest dared the young man to go into the chancel and stare for a moment at the crucifix and say out loud, "Jesus Christ died for me, and I don't care." Embarrassed, but unable to avoid the dare, the boy went into the chancel. He looked at that old crucifix, blackened by years of incense and candlelight. The face of Jesus, though, was still visible. It was filled with pain and agony. "Jesus Christ died for me, and I don't care," said the young man. As he turned to go, the priest said, "One more time, my son, and I'll not ask again." Another time, the boy looked at the pathetic face twisted in the torture of death, and he started to say the words, but they would not come. He looked and tried again, but no sound would come out. At last, slowly, he turned around and approached the priest. "Father," he said, "I want to confess my sin." At that point in the story, the priest, who was telling the story to a sophisticated congregation in Paris, leaned across the pulpit and said, "I know this story is true, my friends. You see, I was that boy." God has shown us his love, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, what are we going to do about it? Let's pray together. Lord, how many times have we heard about your love and experienced it in our lives? How many times we see the cross, O Lord, and yet can't fathom the total price that was paid? Lord, we say with our mouths that you love us and that Christ died for us. Forgive us, Lord, when our lives do not reflect our words. Forgive us when we do things that go against you, go against your will, especially, Lord, when we do it knowingly. Father, forgive us. Sometimes we don't know what we're doing, and sometimes we do. But we pray that the remainder of the Lenten days may be a time for our introspection and also a time of living out our faith as we prepare for Easter. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is Beneath the Cross of Jesus, number 231, singing verses 1 and 3.
Join me in reading of our church covenant.
Having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with Him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer, aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the Church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, for
for the service of Christ and his people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of Christ, that we cheerfully contribute of our poverty, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life, and who has called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers, in the name of the Son.
Jesus is the host of the table, and as the host, Jesus invites each one of us to the table, sinners though we are. And you do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements, for as the host, Jesus invites all believers. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to you this morning, conscious of the cross, conscious of the sacrifice that Christ paid for us. For in these moments, we confess to you those sins that we are aware of that we have committed and ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do pray now that you would forgive us of our sins, cleanse our hearts, purify us, and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The last night that Jesus and the disciples shared together, they had a meal together in the upper room. Was part of the Passover celebration, celebrating the deliverance of the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. And during that meal, Jesus, knowing that what was coming forward for him in the coming hours, tried to communicate to his friends and followers of God's love and what he was about to do. And so he used the elements of the Passover meal and gave new meaning. And Jesus took the bread from the meal. And after giving thanks, he broke the bread and told his disciples, "This bread represents my body that's broken for you. Whenever you eat it," Jesus said, "remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Broken body. Broken that we may be whole.
Let us eat in remembrance of him. As the meal continued, Jesus took the cup, and again giving thanks for the cup, then began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, saying, "This cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Jesus Christ, shed on the cross, that we might have life, life abundant, life new, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you allowed your body to be broken and your blood to be shed on the cross for us, paying the price for our sins. Lord, we pray that we may live each day mindful of that sacrifice, and that our lives may demonstrate our love for you and our recognition of your sacrifice and our appreciation for it. We ask this in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn. We're going out. Our closing in hymn is "In Christ, in the cross of Christ I glory," number 234. We sing verses 1 and 2 only.
Yeah.
Our mission, if we choose to accept it, is to walk the dusty, rocky path to the cross, to transform all the fear and pain of the world into everlasting love, to find a way to humbly serve in spite of the pain of everyday existence, to reflect the light and love of Christ's Spirit. Let us go to love and serve the Lord and our neighbors. Amen.